So yeah, I'm Matt Zimmerman from St. Louis. I'm with my wife, Kim, somewhere maybe. Whenever I got called to, and asked if I would speak, I first was wondering, like, maybe I think my wife would be a lot better candidate for this. There's probably a couple of reasons I would share, and the idea of enrich, and then just it kind of came to me as, I mean, just was asked, hey, this is kind of an encouragement, kind of a send-off, and I don't know about you, but today, this is my first time to be one of these, and there's a lot of enriching experiences today, and the topics, and to be able to be in a room with couples that are either in the same spot as you or have gone through, that's something else, isn't it? And then just to be a part, it's a small part of this, but I don't know, just a little bit of background. So actually this is, I stood up in front of this Sunday school and helped lead and teach Sunday school. This is my home church for up till 8 years ago, and we moved to St. Louis. So my wife and I, we have seven children. I know we've talked about it in some of the breakouts, but seven children. Our oldest is 18, so we have three biological 18 and 16 are two girls, and then we have a boy that's 14. And then we went in, while we were still living here, we went to the, started fostering, and this is where I feel very inadequate. where actually became, I don't know, I wish it would have been real then as far as whose work this really is. So I have three adopted brothers. And my parents started fostering when I was in sixth grade. And at that time, it was a very unpleasant experience. And because I have two older brothers that are biological, there's three boys that were in our family for a lot of years, and all of a sudden, we have these kids coming through that were messing up our life. And it was my wife, actually, after we had three kids, of like, I think we should step into fostering. I feel like God was speaking to her, and well, he sure wasn't speaking to me. And I get to the, you know, I'll be like, well, I'll pray about it. I say this a lot. I'm not sure if you've ever prayed about something that you really don't want to do, but it's very hard to get clear direction. And this would have been around about 10 years ago that we stepped in, and I finally just said, as an obedient husband, I will go to the first class, and I'll go. And I don't know what the feeling was, what happened. All I know is God stepped in at that point, and we left. I remember leaving Champaign and wondering, like, why wouldn't we step in, right? And I remember, I think it was the first class. And we know, like, this is God's work, and we've said that a lot, and I'll talk about that here as well. But I remember, I'm not sure if the person that was giving the first class was a Christian or not, but all I remember her saying is, like, if you're doing it for the money, there's a lot easier ways to make money than to be a foster parent. And that's not why we continued. But I just remember saying that and just leaving. And actually, even today, I don't know how you feel, but God just teaches. I think it's been said, like, we actually learn, like, I think any mission that you go into, you're the one that realizes, hey, I'm actually, like, this is like a learning for me. Like, God is building me, right? And even just some of the topics today of just, God just continues to bring out this selfishness that I have. Like, for some reason, I'm the reason, like, it was something I did that got me in this spot that I'm in today. And it's not. But I think, what was her name? Savannah? No, not Savannah. Susanna, and just sharing of from the beginning of time. So all I have, so I'll be real quick on my slides. I have three slides. I'm not good at PowerPoints, but I have three. So I'm going to go just to the next. And this, I love this because this explains, right? This explains that God actually knows us. She said, like, God, she figured out that God actually knew before she was even born, right? And so I'll just read it. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so he knows this. So from the beginning, and I thought about this. I just recently had a conversation with I have an uncle and an aunt that live down in San Antonio, Texas. And he's not a believer. And he's actually, I would say, in his upper 70s. And I called him because God really convicted me that he's in his upper 70s. And I never asked him where he's at with the Lord. And so I did. I talked to him. And it's a story where he lost his parents very violently. He lived in Ohio. His parents' lives were taken. And he just shared his story. But one thing he said, because he knows that we're Apostolic Christian. And he's like, well, it's just by chance, he says. He says, so if I would have been born in Africa, I would have been brought up in this faith. If I would have been brought up in India, born there, I would have believed this way. Or if I was born here, I would have believed this way. And I thought that was a very profound statement. Like, that is 100% true. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here, because God gives us, right? He gives us the opportunity to do this, to step into people's lives and come alongside. Like, it is true, right? It is true that there's children that are born in broken homes. And so I'll just probably spend a little bit of time on this slide. So it's just a picture. So just look at it and just kind of think about it, and put ourselves in this spot. Because this is what came to my mind whenever I thought, what is the part that we're playing in this, and what's God asking us to do? Because actually, after today, I don't know what it is. There's so many things that continue to come in to just tell me, you know what? Like, it isn't me, and praise God that it's not. You know, my mistakes are going to determine this outcome. I had a couple. I'll just share a couple examples. Alan, you talked about this idea of empathy, and then even like thinking back and trying to put yourself in a place that you can relate. And we wrote up today. Like, so the topic was. I learned a lot, Alan. I appreciate it. And so maybe just saying it will just remind us or put us in that place. When we had the four different scenarios, I was number, I think, three, and then my wife and I go back and forth, are you going to say something or not? And you know, if you remember, three was the idea, like whenever your spouse, husband, or wife responds incorrectly. I hate to say this, but I almost think that's almost like 99% of my responses are not right. It's like, I wish I would just think about it, like, before I say something, and she constantly reminds me. She can sit and think, and it just happened on the way up here. So we brought three of our children, and 12 and 13-year-old, and our 5-year-old. So our 12-year-old, Aiden, like, he breathes really loud. And it's been going on quite some time. Like, he's wide awake, but man, you can just hear him. And so on the way up here, I was like, Aiden, like, he goes, listen to something. I was like, Aiden, like, just open your mouth. Like, do something. Like, it's loud. And, you know, I sat in the room, and I don't know why this didn't occur to me. But I grew up, so I'm the youngest of my older two brothers, and that's all I heard, because I had the same problem. And it wasn't just relating this to us, and that you, Alan, saying that, and then just sitting back there like, you know what, like, I know exactly what it feels like. I'm sitting in the middle of this back seat in the car, and I'm in the middle, because I'm the youngest child. And for one, like, don't let your feet hit each other, right? Like, you had to figure it out. And then it was like, they look at me, they're like, stop breathing so loud. And it just was like, you know what, like, this, so I say that because if you picture this, the picture on your right of the Father and the Son, and do we understand, like, we're somewhere in between the two, all right? God calls us to come in between a soul. No matter, it could be a baby out of the womb, it could be a three-year-old, it could be a five, it could be our neighbor. Maybe it's not someone that we're fostering or adopting, but God has put us in this spot. And I think about it as two ways, two reasons he asks us to do this. One is that we can be a reflection, right? It's not about us. We're not creating this love that only the Father can show, but we're actually just reflecting it, right? So God asks us to step in this spot. And maybe, I don't do it perfectly all the time, but we have that opportunity of stepping between and actually pointing. We talked about it, like the gospel, like embracing the Savior, our Savior, right? And like being that reflection. What else happened in this scenario? The son came back and he repented, right? And actually, I was at Ignite last week and I realized that the theme was going to be this story. But even the idea that, like, God forgave him before he even said anything, right? He had this made up that he was going to say, you know, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Let me be a servant. And he turned and God ran and he embraced him and he loved him. He forgave him. And I think of, like, I have an opportunity. I don't know. Hopefully it's soon that I can. But, I have an opportunity right now. I can go to my son, Aiden. And I can repent. Maybe it's a little thing. Right, but God gives us this opportunity to show what repentance looks like. Right? We can reflect him, and whenever we don't do it exactly right, then he gives us the opportunity to show what repentance looks like. Right? So a hard thing that I just me personally went through, in Forest here, so we got our fostering license, and we got Carl and Aiden. I think they were close to two and three, and we kind of went into it like, well, we're just going to foster, and they would just, you know, the kids would come in, we'd make them better than when they came, and they would leave, you know, and the two boys, they stayed, and then we had to make the decision. We were able to make the decision, like, are you willing to adopt, and we did. And then we moved to St. Louis and went quite a few years. And we realized we could actually have another one in our home. And so we went through the process again and got our license in Missouri. And we had a lot more children come through. A lot came through. And it was just very hard for me to try to put together, like, what was the right time to say yes? What was the right, like, how long? And, like, even though I don't know if it's like this for you, but, like, it was just, like, it didn't matter what the limit was, to be honest. Like, if our limit of children was this amount, the calls would still come in, right? If we could put them somewhere, like, it's better than being in the office, right? And so how to manage that. And one boy, we actually, I think it was maybe our oldest placement, that we had just for a day or overnight. And I just remember I walked into the juvenile detention center, because they say, like, he has to come out. Like, he can't stay here another day. I can just remember going in and waiting and him coming through. And I realized, well, we only have less than 24 hours, and then he's going to go. And that's when God just, like, this idea, like, all God is asking us to do, no matter if it's for an hour, for a day, for a month, for a year, or for the rest of their lives to be our children, is that he's asking us to step in and show them him, right? And I think someone, and maybe it was a breakout, this idea of, like, being real, like, it's not just a religion, or it's not just we're trying to, like, show them. It's like just being real with them, but not taking the responsibility, right? Like, that was a hard thing for me. Like, you feel like, oh, like, well, it would be a lot better if they would stay here, so I would just continue to say yes, or, like, it's fine if they stay, but understanding that God asks us, and it's no different than our own children. This came real, I'm not sure if any, there probably is some of you that have children that have come to the Lord and give a testimony and were baptized, but it was just a couple of years ago that our two girls, Cambria and Jenna, they were whatever age they were then, if they were 14 and 15. I just remember sitting there, they gave their testimony in St. Louis, and that's when I realized that, like, it's all God. Right? For the whatever years that they were in our home, that we were able to teach them, but also make mistakes, and then realize when they share, like, what God's done to their heart, realizing, like, you know what, that's not our job to change their heart. Right? That only God can change them. And I just encourage us in that. It's not, and I just had written down a couple things from earlier was this idea, and we hear it, even like being a preacher or being having some sort of influence on people, and this idea of what success looks like. But, like, I just go back, like, we're just playing a part that God's asked us to do, it was mentioned also, right? I don't know if you ever go into this spot, I'm realizing all these calls that come in for the kids that I need a home, and I look out and then I realize, well, like, there's a lot of families that aren't foster parents, and it was very easy for me to, well, I don't, like, if you're looking for something to do, like, step into this. But whoever, I think someone shared, just don't step into it unless God's calling you. And the reason we actually got our license again, I just remember being on the pulpit in St. Louis and reading in James, where he says, pure and undefiled, pure religion before God, I'm losing it here, is to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and stay unspotted from the world. And that's when I told God, well, we've already done this. Like, we've already adopted, right? And then that's when he just spoke, you're not done. Like, this is just a journey, right? And we can, like, just because you did doesn't mean you can't continue. And we step back in, praise God. But what I learned then is I don't know, maybe this will just help as you go out and interact with others that maybe aren't foster parents. Like, that, I believe that needs to happen, right? Pure religion, undefiled before the Lord, is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and stay unspotted from the world. That needs to be a part of each one of our lives. If we call ourselves followers of God, but it doesn't mean that everyone's going to be foster parents, right? Because I've talked, and you can step into that without being a foster parent. So I just encourage us, if that helps us, as we interact and understand that not everyone is called into this. But, and I'll probably end early. I don't have a lot. I hope that, like, we've just taken today, this is our first. I hope that it works to do this again. I guess I'll just share one thing. I was going to share on the slide before, and then I'll close. But so I grew up in this idea of God has predestined us, and I was showing this, and so I've shared it. I sometimes will have a kernel of corn. We're in the harvest season right now, right? And that we're harvesting the crops, and just this. To just feel like how, just to help us understand God's part and our part, is He has. So we know, right? Like when the corn is put in the ground, it's been predestined what the outcome is, right? We know, like, this corn that gets put in, that it's going to be a corn plant that comes out, right? And there's going to be fruit. There's going to be fruit coming out. And so this idea in our life, like, that before we were born, like, we've been predestined to actually be reconciled back to God, like that. God, that's our purpose. That's been our purpose from the garden, to be brought back into that relationship. And then what's our part when we think about that seed, or like even the seed has to die. Like, it's required that it dies before there's growth, right? But we can't. So as foster parents, as adoptive parents, we can't make our children die to themselves and understand and come to faith. Like, that's. It's their decision, it's their journey. But we can, like, we have the opportunity again for however long that they're in our home, is to nurture that soil, really, that soil that seed is sitting in our home. We get this, maybe it's a small amount of time, but to show them Jesus, right? And then we don't have to take the responsibility after that. And so, again, just a just an encouragement. That's really all I had, and I appreciate just the growing experience with each one of you today. So, thanks.
That's great. Appreciate that. So if I can control myself when it involves me, if I can, right? That's a big if, because sometimes if I'm involved in the conflict myself, I probably need to be validated as much as they do in that moment because I'm upset. But if I'm able to kind of keep my head about me, what I typically will do is choose to try to put away what my thoughts are and just focus on understanding them. And when I have married people come in or siblings or even parent child that come in and they really struggle at it, I say, let's have a new competition. Because usually the competition is who gets to be the loudest, who gets to be heard the first, who gets to have their way stated and understood first. What would it be like if we actually fought to see who could be the one that understood the other person first? What would that be like? What would it be like to say, you know what, you tell me more. I want to understand you before you understand me. Yeah, and they kind of go, yeah, right. But it kind of opens the brain up to like, okay, maybe. So when I'm in a good place and it's a conflict with me, I tend to try to say, okay, let me step back and let me ask you the questions. Let me understand where you're coming from. Now, usually if you do a good job at that, when you say, do you mind if I share my perspective now? Because it's not quite the same as yours. A lot of times if a person feels very heard and understood, they're much more open to the idea of like, okay, I'm willing now to hear where you're coming from. That's happened a lot with the political conversations, the religious conversations I've had with people. I don't share what I believe at all. I just kind of ask them question, and they've shared and they shared, and I said, do you want to hear where I come from? Sometimes they say no. Okay, fair enough. In those sort of scenarios, and other times like, sure, you listen really well to me, let me listen to you, and it goes much more better. If my kid doesn't want to listen to what I have to say, I might say, well, you're going to do it anyway. So ages of people. Like, so with little kids, empathy oftentimes looks more simple as in, oh, that's so sad, you know, just statements like that. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe that. You must feel so bad about that or whatever. It's just kind of stating the word and then using your body language to show that empathy. When you start getting older, the good thing about it is that you can rationalize more with older kids, older people. But yeah, if you spend time asking them questions, understanding where they're coming from, and then kind of saying, all right, I have some insight too. Like, I've been around for a while. Do you want to hear what I have to say? A lot of times they're willing. Did that answer your question? Or we can talk more out there if you have a specific incidents you want to talk about. So, okay, let's see. Like the first half of that side, I want you to focus on scenario one. This half of this side, you guys got two. This side's three, and this side's four. I'm just going to have you just look at the scenario. Sorry, that got cut off. That's scenario three up there. Just look at your scenario and just think for a second of a couple of ideas that you would have and how you would work towards empathy of the other person. And then I'm going to ask anybody that wants to volunteer and just give a thought or two that they had.